duress, Grant said heatedly. It's obvious they were forcing him to make that call. That still doesn't help us to decide what we should do about this, O'Hara said. Should we... She stopped, her eyes going wide. From behind him, Grant heard Krebs' harsh voice. So you've put me into the meat grinder, eh? Grant whirled around. How long had she been standing there at the hatch? How much had she heard? Let me assure you, all of you, Krebs snarled, that if I go down, the four of you go down with me. Determination. We are here to explore the ocean, Krebs said firmly. We are not turning back because some bureaucrat in the IAA has allowed the politicians to overrule his own sense of responsibility. But, Captain, Carlstead began, silence. Men and women have died in this effort. Do you think that I'm going to spit on their graves by turning back? Not before we've done our damnedest to find out if there's life down there. Yes, Captain, Carlstead said, as if he'd never considered any other course of action. I agree completely, said Muzorow. It doesn't matter whether you agree or not, Krebs spat. We are going deeper, now. She leveled a finger at O'Hara. And no communication with the station. Nothing, for no reason. Even if we are dying in this coffin, we make no attempt to contact the station unless I tell you to. Is that clear? Perfectly clear, Lane answered. Good. Now take your stations. We are going down to 10 kilometers. Wordlessly, the four of them began to link up to the ship's systems. Krebs did also. Grant felt almost relieved. At least she knows it all now. We're not sneaking around her back anymore. The visual amnesia, or whatever her condition is, doesn't affect her ability to run this ship. Ready for linkage, he reported. Before the others, he noticed. Very good, Mr. Archer. You may link. As Grant reached for the console switch that would unite him again with the power and propulsion systems, he realized that Krebs couldn't possibly be a zealot terrorist. She doesn't want to destroy this mission. She wants to carry it through, no matter what the consequences afterward. He felt better about her, and about the mission. He tried not to think about what would happen to them after the mission, when they returned to the station and the waiting Ellis Beach. Once the others were linked, Krebs gave the order to dive to 10 kilometers. After several hours, the headache behind his eyes was throbbing through Grant's skull. The pressure's building up, he realized. As we dive deeper, the pressure outside the hull goes higher, which means the pressure here on the bridge goes up to compensate. How deep can we go? He asked himself. He knew the submersible's specifications, but those were merely numbers. How much pressure can we stand? Zeb was wrong. This vessel can take a lot more pressure than we can. We'll crack long before the hull does. He glanced at Carlstead, tending the life support console. Egon looked tense, his lips a thin, tight line, his face even paler than usual. If we weren't immersed in this fluid, he'd be sweating, Grant thought. Egon can feel the pressure squeezing on the hull. It must seem like a giant vice trying to crush his body. 10 kilometers, Lane sang out. Maintain decent angle, said Krebs. We're going deeper. Grant heard a groan. It didn't come from anyone on the bridge. It was a metallic grinding complaint. Pay no attention to that noise, Krebs told them. It's not important. As if in obedience to her, the grinding noise stopped. Support cylinder 9 needs lubrication, Krebs said, trying to reassure them. Nothing to worry about. The nested shells that comprised the Shenghei were connected by buttressing cylinders that contained hydraulic pistons within them. They compressed slightly as the pressure outside the hull squeezed on the ship. Grant began to wonder how well the cylinders would support the shells if one of them was already showing signs of strain. Maybe I'm the one who's wrong, he realized. Maybe the ship will fail before our pain becomes unbearable. After a tense 4 hours of steady descent, Krebs told Muzorow and Carlstead to take a rest period. 1 hour, then report back here to relieve O'Hara and Grant, she commanded. Grant took over Carlstead's life support systems. True to his expectations, he could feel the pressures inside each level of the ship building, mounting, pressing in on him, slowly crushing him to death like a giant boa constrictor wrapping its coils around him. It was getting difficult to breathe. It took a conscious effort to lift his chest to inhale. Stop it, he chided himself. It's 90% imagination. 99%. Look at the pressure graph. It's only gone up a couple of percentage points since we entered the ocean. You're letting your emotions overpower your brain. Still, he felt as if he were being smothered. His headache pounded. He glanced at O'Hara. She seemed normal enough, intently piloting the ship deeper into the sea, watching with glowing eyes the sensors that Zeb normally monitored. Grant fought an urge to tap into the sensor net and see what she was looking at. No, he told himself, you've got enough to do. Don't allow yourself to be distracted. Then he wondered what the increasing pressure was doing to Krebs. Her condition was due to pressure-induced trauma to her brain. It had to be worse as I descended deeper. Did she feel pain? Confusion? He shot a glance over his shoulder at her. Krebs seemed perfectly normal, floating in her usual spot up by the overhead, scowling at him. She's following the currents of organic particles, O'Hara said to Grant once they were back in the sleeping area. You can see them that clearly? With a smile, Lane said, In the sonar they show up like a whirlwind, except that they appear white as snow. Gesturing to the wall screen of their common area, Grant asked, Can you show me? O'Hara nodded and spoke into the screen's microphone. Display sonar imagery. The screen brightened to life, showing a stream of bright white swirling through the dark ocean. It's just as Lane described it, Grant thought. A whirlwind of snow. He knew the white color of the imagery was an artifact created by the computer program. It made the organic particles easier to discern against the ocean background, easier to track. Lord, Grant thought. If I'd known about this, I could have used the particles to map out the ocean currents. With sudden enthusiasm, he stepped to the microphone and said, Correlate sonar returns with mapping imagery. Please provide more specific input, the computer's synthesized voice replied. Grant ducked into his cubicle and stretched the length of his bunk to pull his palm-com from its resting place on the shelf above his pillow. I'll be at this a while, he said to O'Hara as he sat on the end of his bunk. She shrugged and crawled into her own cubicle. After a few minutes, Krebs appeared at the hatch, trailing her optical fibers from her legs. You are supposed to be resting, Mr. Archer, not writing your thesis. This isn't my thesis, ma'am, he said, totally missing her irony. I'm setting up my fluid dynamics program to use the particle streams as tracers. You know, the way aerodynamicists use smoke particles in their wind tunnel tests. You need your rest. Yes'm, in a few minutes, please. Krebs watched him in silence for several seconds, then turned and floated back into the bridge. Grant was still working on the palm comp when Muzorawa and Carlstead came in for their rest period. She wants you on duty, Muzorawa said. In a minute, Grant said. I'm almost finished here. Can I help? Zeb asked, settling on the end of the bunk beside Grant. It would take longer to bring you up to speed than it will for me to finish this. Muzorawa laughed softly. The cruel honesty of youth. Grant didn't reply. He barely heard the older man. He hardly noticed when Muzorawa got up and went back to the bridge. When at last he was finished and the program was running properly, Grant pushed himself up from the bunk and swam through the hatch. Muzorawa was at his console, fully linked up, with O'Hara beside him. Are you finished, Mr. Archer? Krebs asked, dripping acid. Yes, ma'am. The program's working fine now. Thank you for being so patient. Thank Dr. Muzorawa. He is doing your work instead of enjoying his rest period. Grant fumbled with his optical.